Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 22nd of June 2025. We read a scripture from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading from verse 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you that it is the source of life. We pray that we might receive more of that life and light in our lives as we spend this time listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, anoint our lips to speak, our ears to hear, our hearts to do, in the wonderful name of Yeshua. The title of this message is Fishing for God. Fishing for God. Since time immemorial, mankind has been involved with fishing of one sort or another, just as we have been involved with every other means of procuring food, sustenance, hunting, gathering, sowing, reaping, and more recently, buying and selling. Fishing has been part of mankind's history, as I've said, and we find that the Lord, in his ministry on this earth, used concepts that people well understood, things that people of his day were familiar with. We know about sowing and reaping. Hunting is also mentioned in the word, buying and selling. But we want to talk specifically about fishing. And there's quite a lot to be gathered from this whole process. Now, to state the obvious, the Lord came across these men, they were fishermen. It's significant that he chose as the core of his whole team, fishermen, as we're going to explain. Possibly because they had an innate understanding of certain fundamental principles. But note what he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's always amazed me how these people, established in their careers as it were, at the drop of a hat were prepared to drop everything and follow him. He must have had such an awesome presence about him. But added to that fact was this understanding that what he had to offer was far more valuable than what they were doing or what they had been doing their whole lives. And to state the obvious, as I've said, when we talk about fishing for God, he calls us to be fishers of men. Now, it should go without saying, having studied the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that when you and I fish for men, those fruit of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives make our lives attractive. They attract people to us. People are attracted to the fruit on a tree. And if you and I are fishing for men, we have to make sure that what attracts them is him, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, primarily. Also the gifts, of course. But that's part of the whole Christian experience, this important function, critical function, of sharing that which we have been blessed with others. And just as he said to Peter and the other disciples on the shores of Lake Galilee, "Follow me." And he wants to make us fishers of men. But having said that, there's a lot more to this understanding of fishing for God. As a young boy, I grew up with a father who was a very enthusiastic weekend fisherman. And we spent many pleasurable days on lakes, casting our rods on the water, as it were. It was, in a sense, the nearest to church that he ever got in his life. But we used to fish with what were known then as spinners or lures. And the whole idea was you cast this lure into the water. As you pull it through the water, hopefully a fish comes along, is attracted to the lure, and takes a bite on it. Now just think about that. Here we are above the water. We cast something into the water. Something from outside goes into the water. And there's something there that will hopefully be attracted by that which we cast in. And obviously once the bite happens, the process of reeling the fish in begins. And one hopes that it is a successful venture. Now, that whole process of this interaction between two dimensions, above water and below water, can also be understood, or help us understand rather, the difference between and the connection between the spiritual world and the physical world. And as I'm going to explain, a lot of fishing takes place. Of course, God is the great fisherman, and hopefully he caught every one of us one way or the other. But you see, his word went out from the heavens into the earth. And that word, as it were, acted as a hook. And once we bite onto the word, he's able to draw us, you see. That's why the battle is on, to keep us off the word. But there's somebody else in the spirit world that's also fishing, by the way. And as I mentioned, when we cast into the dam, on the end of our line was an object which is also known as a lure. It was something attractive. Now you see, God might very well have caught us and be reeling us in. But in this journey of life, be assured, there are a lot of other hooks in the water. The enemy of our soul is a master fisherman. He knows exactly what lure to place in front of us. We have to be so cautious that we don't bite onto the lure. You see, the fish, once he bites onto the lure, although he's still in the water, is now inextricably drawn away from his course and into the net. I always used to think how stupid these fish must be to bite on these silly pieces of metal. But then I think to myself how stupid us human beings are for so often biting on to the lures of the devil. But you see, the moment we bite, we get hooked. And once we get hooked, there's a process, you see, of dragging us away from the living God. So many, many Christians, we all know of people like this, serving the Lord maybe for years, and some lure comes their way. They bite onto it, thinking that I'm still in the water, I'm still safe, only to discover that gradually they get pulled off track. This can happen at any level. You and my calling, once again, is something we have to pursue. And as we've said before, the enemy of our souls so desperately wants to get us off our calling. Because once he's got us off our calling, he renders us ineffective in the fight against his kingdom. And you see, his technique very often is to put in front of us something that looks good and something that might not necessarily be innately evil. But you see, that distraction, the cares of life, concerns, the pleasures, etc., all these things, idols in our heart, the devil is out fishing for us. We must be aware of it. And you see, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment. And when we see something come along as a lure, recognize what it is and refuse to take the bait. Refuse to take the bait. But be that as it may, there is another aspect to this fishing for God that has been brought to my attention recently and which I'd like to spend a bit of time on. I always wondered why there was such a thrill to go fishing. Grown adults spend a fortune getting the right equipment, the right tackle, traveling to distant places, and all the requirements that go with it. Just to be on a boat, to cast a hook of some description into the water, and then to catch a fish. We can go to the supermarket tomorrow and buy a whole lot of fish, better fish than we could possibly catch. But what's the excitement? Well, from experience, I can say that there is great excitement when that fish bites onto your hook, especially if it's a fighting fish, like a tiger fish. Even though that fish, a tiger fish, is predominantly bones and very, very hard to eat unless it gets pickled for days, that's not the point. Why is it that it's so exhilarating? Well, you see, if I think about it now, what's so exhilarating is the fact that all of a sudden you become aware that there's something living on the other side, and that thing living is now connected. It's hard to describe if you haven't had the experience. But you see, the moment that fish bites, in a sense, your activities in this realm, as it were, are no longer irrelevant. You're no longer wasting your time. Because now there's something living, and that's really important, something alive on the end of your line. I'm sure for those who do big game fishing, the excitement only starts then, and then the whole process of fighting with this fish to reel it in, I assume, is something completely different. But my point is this, that there's such excitement the moment you realize there's something alive on the other side. And I want us to just consider that for a bit in our whole relationship with God. In a way, you and I, in our Christian walk, are required to continually fish for God. Yes, He has hooked us, hopefully, and He's reeling us in, hopefully. But the other side of the coin is, from our side of the fence, in this physical realm, the moment we have contact with the living God, it brings an excitement, which is hard to describe. We suddenly realize there's somebody out there who's actually alive. And more than alive, He's interested in us. He's intimately interested in me. That, brothers and sisters, is the heartbeat of Christianity. And you see, what religion does, sad to say, is it erects a big wall of intellect. And we start to rationalize God, think Him out, get our doctrine in line, line, verse, and chapter. And somehow, what happens is this relationship becomes sterile. It's like going to an aquarium, to continue with this analogy. And you see all the fish there. You know they're there, but there's an impenetrable wall, a glass, you see, separating us. I've had people explain to me, they know God is there, but somehow He just seems to be remote, distant, a million miles away, academic almost, the God of the Bible. Now you see, Christianity goes beyond that. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it goes beyond that. And when we are involved with real spiritual activity, the heart and soul of it is, as it were, to wait for God to bite, to wait for the Holy Spirit to bite on the other side, to show us that He's real. And I use that word wait very, very selectively. It is a waiting game. Having contact with the living God is a waiting game. Fishing is a waiting game. Hunting, you see, is when you go out and you actively look for the prey and you shoot it or catch it, whatever you do. But fishing, you can't see the prey. You have to bait the hook, make it as attractive as possible, but you have to leave it there. You have to wait for the fish to bite. The Bible speaks a lot about waiting on the Lord. And that waiting isn't just inactive, sitting around, expecting, well, maybe one day God will do something. It's actively looking and seeking. The word also says, seek and you shall find. To use our analogy once again, put your hook in the water, stick it out long enough, and eventually he will bite. How this applies in our Christian walk is varied, but I can give a few examples. The first one is reading the Word of God. You see, with the things of God, our consumer culture is our biggest enemy. We want to get fast food. We want everything done now. The whole market works on the basis of whoever can produce or provide human needs quickly, efficiently, and cheaply as possible. They make a success. And that's our thinking, you see. But God doesn't work that way. I'm sure we've realized that. He won't jump around when you and I just pop in and say hi. No, it's a waiting game, you see. We have to fish for him. And when we read the word, we can't just read the word and tick it off our to-do list and go on with our lives. We have to camp there. We have to sit there. We have to meditate on that word. And you see, when you and I pay the price to meditate on the word, to allow what we see unfolding before us with our imagination, and we allow the Holy Spirit to take the words, the eternal words found in the Bible, and breathe life through them, if we prepare to sit and do that, we find that very often, in fact, always, if we're very conscientious about it, while we are reading, something stirs. Something in that word stirs. It's almost like the fish is biting. Then it's a process of thinking it through, trying to fathom what God is saying. And inevitably, we start to hear his voice, breathing through his word. We're reeling that fish in. The other activity that is very similar is what I've talked about before, this process of journaling. I've always been fascinated by journaling. And I've so often found when I start to write, the Bible encourages this, by the way. It's a whole teaching on its own. But as we start to write our thoughts, express our prayers in writing, ask God for an answer, stick around and just allow those thoughts inside us to emerge, so often, so very, very often, we start to write and you just sense that God himself is whispering in our ear, is biting on the hook. And in that situation, your and my relationship with him becomes so much more real, concrete. The next area of Christian discipline, I suppose you could call it, is the whole realm of prayer. Having a conversation with God. And we need to pray, as everybody knows, but you see, prayer takes on a new dimension when we understand that prayer is tuning ourselves and our thoughts into what God wants, what he thinks, listening out for his opinion, for his take on certain things that are maybe perplexing us, situations that we face, issues in our lives, issues in the lives of others, in the community, in the country, in the world. And you see, as you and I are prepared to put ourselves out there, that's the only way I can say it. It's like putting that hook out there, putting that hook into the other world, the other realm. We're waiting for God to talk to us, you see. And as we do that, it's so wonderful when we start to sense him drawing close, him speaking to us, talking to us, directing us, comforting us, encouraging us. The big fish has just bitten, and it's our joy to reel him in. Obviously, it's not really us fishing for him. He's always fishing for us. But you see, we have to be available. And that's the heart of it. You don't have to have too much knowledge of the Bible, although the more knowledge we have, the better equipped we are to hear his word. But I'm encouraging us, just stretch that little bit. Turn off this world for a bit. Put your spirit man into that spirit world. Cast that hook into the sea of life. And wait for God to bite. I pray that you and I will be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.